I will call the meeting to order and ask for there to be a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved, Anthony. It's Allison.
Great. Do I have a second?
I will second. Thank you.
Okay. And that was for now, just for the sake of.
Yes.
So currently, it's just the three or four of us, including Jeremiah, that are members, correct?
Yes.
Until otherwise noted.
Yes.
That's right. Yep.
Okay, so Allison.
Yes.
No,
I.
I need it.
I.
I. Fernaz.
I.
Anthony. I. Jeremiah.
I.
All right, motion to approve the agenda has passed. Moving on to presentations from the floor. Are there any presentations from the floor on non-agenda items? Okay. Okay, I'm in an office. I don't know how to turn that off. I'm in a
Don't worry
guest
about it.
office. Okay, any can you scroll up a little bit? I'm trying to scroll up myself, Jeremiah. Any presentations from the floor on agenda items? Okay.
I would just, Anthony, I would just say I'm excited to meet our new folks that are here with us today. And I apologize for not having my video on. I am driving, but I will be somewhere shortly and will turn on my video so I can see everybody in person or virtually
Yes.
in person.
So, yes, I obviously wanted to one welcome and thank both of you, Mason and Herb, for being on the call. I know the last board meeting where you guys were on, I was not there, so it's great to have you both present and hopefully excited. We're excited to have you guys here. And what you see here is very similar to what I think you've seen on regular board member agendas, at least in the beginning, on how we have these set up. And so it should look fairly familiar to you if you've been on other board meetings. So far it has, I don't know how to turn this off. Sorry, I'm borrowing someone's office. anyway, welcome. Appreciate you guys being here. It's good to see Farnaz and Jeremiah, and good to hear Allison's voice. I know you and I have not connected in quite some time, Allison, so we should do that sooner than later. And I will pass it on to Farnaz on discussion items.
Am I on mute or can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Excellent. Thank you. Okay. So first of all, Allison left.
No, I'm here.
Oh, you're still here. Wonderful. For some reason, I couldn't see you. I want to thank you both for being willing to join our board. I sent the communication to our community actually this morning. I sent the communication about it to our entire organization a couple of weeks ago. And the amount of enthusiasm for both of you and your knowledge and your background and your alignment with mission has been really exciting. The fact that you've jumped right in and proposed ideas has been wonderful. So we're all very excited and eager to welcome you to the board. And with that, we wanted to just give a chance to our governance committee of us of small our small governance committee to discuss this or ask any questions you have. I have been fortunate enough to have one-on-one time with both of you and have no questions myself to ask at this point, but I want to open up to my partners here.
I'd like to say that, you know, thank you, first of all, to Mason and Herb for sending in your board member applications and your other materials to go through the onboarding process. You know, so far everything is in alignment with moving towards a nomination for both of you on January 26th. And I think in addition to having a chance to review and discuss your nominations, we could also use some time here to answer any questions that you have, you know, about board engagement, We have a number of committees that that we board members serve on. And yeah, I don't have any specific questions at this time, but I'll open it up to anybody else.
This is my first time meeting you both, and I'm very excited. Your resumes and bios are amazing, and you both seem like amazing assets. I'm curious to know, what are you most excited about in coming on board, so that we can think about how to best align you to activities and events and participation that kind of meets your excitement.
Mason, did you want to go first, or I can go either way?
Go ahead, Herb. I'll follow you.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, my friend. This is Herb Sims. I tell you, this process for me, well, first of all, thank you, Jeremiah, for your patience. Jeremiah has been pinging me via email like, Herb, I need you to get this stuff together. And I'm traveling. I've been traveling since the 18th of December. So I get back the 24th in LA, and I'm happy to be at home because I've been all over the place. But Jeremiah, thank you so much. I appreciate your persistence on making sure you follow up. Unfortunately, my company's network really blocks a lot of sites for security purposes. So I'm glad this worked out. But I think what I'm most excited about is the opportunity to bring my experience, my background, and leverage some of the things that I have utilized, not only in the DE&I space, but also within my personal life, to bring some value to the organization and to the school, and most importantly, to the youth that we serve every single day. My process has been like almost 3+ years in the making. Denise literally reached out to me almost 3 years ago. I was like, Herb, we really want you to come over and join. I just couldn't find the bandwidth, couldn't find the time. And I said, you know what? In life, you'll make time for the things that are important. And giving back to the community is extremely important to me. But not only that, giving back to our youth is important. So I'm excited about joining, being a part of this organization to impact change, but leverage what I can bring to the table to help support us and move us forward in the right direction. Thank you.
I would echo a lot of what Herb said, and I'll add a little bit more to that as well. Is I feel that the first moment I met Farnaz and we got the tour of the campus and being able to see the actual experience and seeing the students and the teachers, and it really aligns with my own personal mission, similar to what Herb said. I mean, I'm a LA native. I went to LA USD schools. So I know that the travails of our school system and whatnot and some of the things that are shortcomings, and seeing the hope and actually being able to affect some change kind of lines up with a space where I am in my life right now. And again, it's not just the work I do with DEI, but I've spent my career, even since high school, being active in the community, and just the idea of being able to join something with, you know, such a diverse board. I feel like this, you know, you are who your friends are, and if you the people you work with reflect the way that the world looks, I feel that there's a lot of opportunity to really have a deep impact. And, you know, it's also about the idea of not just experience, but exposure. I think what young people need is when they are exposed to things, they can be it. Like, it's hard to see it or to be it if you don't see it. I mean, so for me personally, you know, I stumbled into a toy design job as a, you know, later in life. I didn't even know toys were made, because I never saw anything like that as a kid. But, you know, and I would hope that as what I would love to do is share experiences with the, you know, with the larger organization, but specifically when it speaks to the board, is also bringing, I believe, that the diversity of thought is one of the things that is, you know, paramount if we're going to have success. And so I've just enjoyed the experience. I have a good friend who works, you know, for ECS, Michael Martucci, who one day I was sitting around having a beer with him, and he was saying, oh, we're getting some new board members. And I said, dude, why don't you, what's up? You know, I almost slapped him in the head, you know, like, come on, dog. Like, you know what I do for a living, you know. But to come in and I say one thing to like Herb said, Jeremiah, like, just out the gate, it's been a pleasure working with you. Mm-hmm. I know that, like, sometimes I get squirrely on some of the things I forget to do, but you have a way of head coaching in a way that's very, very encouraging. And yet, you know, it's like the velvet hand, the velvet glove over the iron hand. So I appreciate that. So, you know, I just, and Anthony and Allison haven't met you until today, but really looking forward. And, you know, I would say deploy me as you see fit.
Well, that's awesome. I have to say, you know, as those on the call that I've been working with for a while know, I took a buyout from my previous company, and I've been with a new company and traveling literally every week, or Herb and Mason, for 6 months. I've been on the road, and so I haven't had the opportunity that I would like to get to know you and spend time with you. And I know we've tried to connect in the past, so I want you to know how happy and excited I am to have both of you here, and to hear that, you know, people who are part of ECS wanted you, even after a beer, before a beer, but wanted you. It speaks to you and what you represent, if they want to bring you into this organization, especially Denise, who's been after you for a while, Herb.
Yes.
And it's awesome to hear that you have the philosophy of the prioritizing what is important and finding the time and making the time. It's awesome, and I'm glad you finally came to us in a greater capacity. And so I know we look forward to working with both of you. I can't wait to learn more about you, and Mason is awesome when you say deploy me however you want. And you know, there's so much I think we can do together with the two of you on this board. So it's awesome, your backgrounds and your enthusiasm. It's awesome.
Thank you. You know, I'll tell you, Herb and I actually met each other right during the summer at a DEI event. And then when I saw Herb's name as one of the potential board members, I said, wow, that's like one of those crazy serendipitous things, because, you know, there's not a lot of us in the field. And so we look at each other and say, oh, wow, you know, like we had a great conversation, right, Herb? And then to see it to end up in a Zoom call again, like something felt right. So
yeah, absolutely, Mason. I totally agree with you on that. Absolutely.
And I also want to just give kudos to Jeremiah, because he is awesome in getting people to do things that aren't as easy to get done. He does it in such a polite, respectful, but assertive way.
Absolutely.
I echo that.
Yeah. It's like, been a pleasure, though. Herb, Mason, and working through the onboarding process. And how engaged you were at the last board meeting before even joining the board. So it's just, excellent timing all around. And I think, sorry, Allison, were you going to add on more?
It's just another kind of like, I know you're going to get a lot of support from Jeremiah, but is there anything that you're worried about that we can jump ahead on to support you? Like any questions you have?
Well, I guess, well, first and foremost, I'm never going to be driven by worry. So that's not something to care about. But I would like, you know, you mentioned committees and whatnot, and I probably don't have the greatest knowledge of the breadth of the committees and some of the details, but I know maybe this isn't the time for all that, but I would just love to like continue to study and learn. And so if there's anything that you suggest that we check out, or you know, we need to do, like any materials or whatever it may be, I would love to just know a little bit more.
Well, as you can see, we need a board member on our governance committee. <It's 'cause laughs> we need to have two board members here. So this is a smaller committee that only meets as we are recruiting board members. It's a smaller responsibility. If you're at all interested, we would love to have another member on this committee. We need another board member on our finance committee. We were thinking of recommending Andrew Ellenbogen for that because of his experience as a treasurer of a charter school. We thought he'd bring some interesting insights into how we manage our finances and ask good questions. We're also seeking someone to serve on the audit committee. So that's something that is meeting very soon right now, so it's not something that needs to happen right away, but if you're interested over time, that can be a pathway. Allison, I'll I'll ask you to talk a little bit about Menlo, which is sort of our subsidiary sister organization, and we'll talk about the Menlo Charter Properties Committee as well. But before I talk about that, we're also in the midst of a capital campaign to raise about $5 million for the buildup of our new campus in our Gardena High School. And that is underway right now. And we have an amazing consultant who's been supporting us with that. But we will be asking all of our board members to support this by, if you know of any local funders or people who would be interested in learning about this initiative, to come to events and parties about it and engage in those conversations. It's not going to be a committee of the board, because we think there's two elements of our work that are the responsibility of the whole org. One of them is our financial sustainability. And so that needs to come to the whole board every time. And the other one is our academics. So there used to be an academic subcommittee, and we thought we really don't need that because everybody needs to look at academics every meeting, and we need to keep our eyes on what is our primary purpose. So if you're at all interested in those things, there will be opportunities. I don't know if you guys signed up for the Leaders Like Me program at Gardena Middle School. I sent it to you guys, or if you forwarded it along to other people. There will be things like that more and more frequently. If you can sign up, that would be phenomenal. Allison, do you want to talk about Menlo Charter Properties?
Sure, I can. So Menlo Charter Properties is a, let's see if I can figure out a quick way. So this, it is a supporting organization of ECS. It is a separate nonprofit that exists solely to support our schools in the acquisition, financing, development, renovation of their school sites. And the reason why it's a separate organization is that there's a couple of reasons. One, property ownership is, we want to protect our schools from any kind of liability. So one of the reasons is to separate the organization as such. But another bigger reason is financially, the way it works in the state of California is if our schools don't own the property, but lease the property, then we're able to get reimbursed a portion of our rents. And in order to be able to get the rents returned to us as a reimbursement, we cannot be the owners of the property. We have to be, so Menlo Charter Property acts as the owner and then leases it or subleases the property to Environmental Charter Schools. And then we're able to submit the rents that we pay to the state for reimbursement. It sounds a little kooky, but it's one of the ways that the system was first created to get reimbursed for rents. It was designed that way, and the state knows that we create these special purpose entities in order to be able to utilize the rent reimbursement. The history of that piece of legislation is confusing, and I'm certainly, you know, welcome questions in the future if anybody's interested in serving on that committee.
Yeah, so Menlo, so through that, the way you have it set up, like with Menlo being like almost like a holding for the properties, does that affect the taxes as well that ECS pays? Does that like give you some kind of like way to keep out of property tax and whatnot, like and what in that piece as far as and liability?
Yeah, so it does. We're still able to be have a property tax exemption because we're a nonprofit. So Menlo Charter Properties is also a nonprofit because its sole purpose is to benefit a nonprofit. So we carry that nonprofit status, and we do get we are eligible for a discount on our property taxes as a result. And it really is basically its own. It sounds like you get it. It's its own limited liability. So it's its own nonprofit, and then it has four separate limited liability corporations.
underneath Menlo Charter Properties. And Menlo is the only board for all four of those limited liability corporations. And that way each school, if any school fails for any reason, it's supposed to not impact any of the other schools. Because we have that corporate veil that would have to get pierced.
Now, Allison, technically, these are board members and not committee members, correct? In relation to
You know what, Anthony, you are correct. You would be a board member of the Menlo Charter Properties nonprofit. Anthony is a board member of that nonprofit, and he is also a board member of ECHS. The bylaws and the articles of incorporation for Menlo Charter Properties requires us to have more ECS board members on its board than non-ECS board members in order for it to be a benefit to ECS.
And then quickly, the audit committee, what are the primary responsibilities there?
Yeah, the audit committee. So they meet at least once a year to review the audit report draft that comes from our independent auditor. The next meeting is actually coming up in a couple days. Most of the time, all the time I've been here, they've been audit reports have been 100% clean. There haven't been much to really discuss or deliberate on, but it is a second check against our governance to have audit committee separately review the report.
Just to give credit to our predecessors, we've had 21 years of clean audits and intend to do so forever. And that's our whole existence of an auditing term. So
the engagement level is usually not very high, but every several years we also pick the next independent auditor, and there's a selection process that goes along with that. And so it would be potentially two meetings each year for that.
And to give a little more insight, Mason and Herb, the selection process, and Farnaz and Jamal, you can provide additional insight, that also is performed initially by a separate group of people at ECS, and then they bring us their recommendations. So there's a lot of work that goes on prior to us sitting down and reviewing it. So it really is. We have so far, since I've been here, a tremendous amount of faith in phenomenal people who work for us. So they do great jobs of preparing information and reviews so that, unless there's something, that you have questions about and want to pursue, they've done a great job of getting it to us so that, we can do a high level review and ask some questions and then move it forward. I'm not sure that's a good way of putting it, but that's just to give you a sense of that activity on the audit.
Yeah, it makes sense. It sounds like there's just like the audit committee is a part of a let's call it a stage-gated progression through getting the clean bill of health that Farnaz mentioned, right? So look, I'll say it like this, Herb, I'll give you first right of refusal to whichever committee you want, and I'll take the other. So it's like, if that's what we're going to do. So like, but I feel comfortable in both roles. So no problem.
My friend, I have no problem with any of the committees, but I do have a question. So with the $5 million goal for fundraising, that's for a new school, and that would be in Gardena. Is that correct?
That is the school that we opened up 2 years ago. So now it's in its second year.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
We financed and purchased the building with financing, and there's about $5 million of renovations that have to happen to the building, some of which have already happened. We'd love to take you on a tour of it. It's a beautiful, it's going to be an amazing campus. It's going to be our most beautiful campus. And we're very excited about it. So if you'd like to come, we'd love to take you on a tour. And
yeah, that would be nice. I've been to the Lawndale facility. So because I was only asking that question because it looks like if we're trying to go into a growth mode, or I'm not sure what the future outlook is for ECS. But I just recall on our last board meeting that we were short, I think almost six heads. I don't know if it was across multiple sites or one site. I just remember that number for some strange reason. And what actions are we putting in place to ensure that we maintain a level of staffing that's going to be able to, you know, sustain the mission?
It's 6 across all sites, which is really a source of a lot of pain for us. As I shared in that meeting, it's one of the biggest pain points for the organization. Thankfully, the percentage of employees, of total employees, 6 out of 272 is very small. But, and relative to the other schools, school districts and charter districts, were far ahead of them in terms of recruitment. But that said, you're 100% right to say that this is a strategic challenge for us, because especially with the growing campus each year, we have to hire a whole new grade level of teachers. So the strategies that we're implementing that we haven't implemented to this level before are that we are running a pretty intensive social media campaign that's going to cover Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, LinkedIn, but it's going to have videos and clips weekly that happen. I'm reaching out to, and if you have any warm direct introductions to make to the directors of all of the ed schools in the area, and trying to create partnerships with the ones we don't already have partnerships with. We do have some, but not all of them. I want to strengthen our partnership with the historically Black colleges and universities that have education schools. We don't have strong partnerships in place there, and that would be a good space for us, especially since one of our campuses had 2 Black teachers step up into leadership roles in the last few years and step out of the classroom. And that's a pain point for that campus, because they really want representation for their students. So those are the things we're thinking about. We welcome any ideas or recommendations you have, in addition to 100 other things like recruitment events and lots of stipends for people, bonuses for people who recruit colleagues and things like that. But if you have any ideas, I welcome them. If you want to have like a brainstorming session, we can schedule that as well.
Yeah, we
definitely want to do that. Just to clarify, you are correct. You were correct. We are growing. And that the new school, even though it's not new, meaning not yet open, it is growing. So last year was at 110 students. This year it's at 220 students, and hopefully it will become 500 students. And so I think Farnas clarified that, but I just want to kind of point out that you were right in your understanding of what's happening.
Yeah, absolutely. Just make sure we got action plans in place to ensure that we can service the students with the right instructions, instruction base, whether it's the teachers or the staff or the members that help make up those particular campuses. But with the HBCU connectivity, I can absolutely bring, can leverage some of my networks for that, because I'm a part of what we call the Interalumni Council here in Los Angeles. And that's made up of all the HBCU alumni chapters here in the area. So that'll be a huge win to bring them and loop them in and have them on our distro, that when we have shortages, that they can ping out people to say, okay, here's some opportunities at 6 schools within the area.
That would be a dream. That'd be wonderful.
Yeah. That's not a problem. Matter of fact, they just hosted their MLK breakfast just yesterday over at the Proud Birthday. It's an annual MLK breakfast that the Interalumni Council hosts every year. They just moved it back to the Proud Bird. It's been down in Gardena. It's been all over the place, but for years it was at the Proud Bird, a phenomenal event that draws a huge population of people, especially from all the HBCUs. So we can definitely work on that connectivity and have work with some service agreements for when our students graduate. They can have a pipeline into colleges in those HBCUs as information
that would be wonderful available
to them.
We'd also love to table an event like that and have some of our principals there.
Oh, absolutely.
To support recruitment. Any times you think of things like this, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. We will find a person to come.
Yeah. So I don't have any major concerns. Like I've attended a couple of the board meetings so far, been really impressed with the work we're doing. Just want to be able to add and contribute and leverage some of my background, knowledge, expertise to help us grow and move even further. So I'm excited and looking forward to it, actually. My friend Mason, it doesn't matter. Any of those committees I'm willing to serve on to very much like yourself. It doesn't bother me.
All right. Well, if we're going to go back and forth being ultra polite, somebody got to put a foot in the sand. So I look out for governance. I nominate that. I volunteer for that. and unfortunately, I have to jump off at 1:30. So I don't mean to be a stick in the mud. But
oh, I so apologize. Let's jump into the action item of recommending nomination. Anthony, can you see it or do you want me to do it?
I see it. Okay. So do we have
I make a motion.
Right.
I make a motion.
I second it.
Okay. All right. Second. So Allison.
Aye.
Farnaz.
Aye.
Anthony. Aye. And Jeremiah.
Aye.
The recommendation to nominate the ECS board members, both Herb and Mason, have been approved.
Right on.
Yay.
All right.
Hooray. Well,
thank you. Can't wait to meet you guys in person.
Yeah. And with definitely. That, we need a motion to adjourn unless there's anything else you want to discuss. Mason, I know you need to exit. So do I have a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion to adjourn.
All right. A second?
Second.
All right. Allison.
Aye.
Farnaz.
Aye.
Jeremiah.
Aye.
Anthony. Aye. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you all for participating, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, everybody. All right, see you.